Turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings is in the Old Testament, and if you're not familiar with the order of the books, if you find 1 Kings, it's the next book to the right. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, there you go, about the 12th book, something like that. 2 Kings, and we're going to go to chapter 5 and kind of read an interesting story, at least a part of an interesting story here this morning, and we will start at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Great, let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Let's read this story about Naaman the Syrian. God's word says this: Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, Father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we read the story of this man Naaman, and Father, as we start a new series here today, Father, I just ask that once again, your Holy Spirit just saturate each and every one of us in here. Father, may the words that I speak be exactly what you want me to say. Father, I hide behind the cross, and Father, my prayer is that the words that you're going to have me speak here this morning be changing in the lives of all of us, Lord, in some way, that we can be drawn closer to you, that we can understand more about your word, but most of all, we can love you even more from what we hear and understand here today. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to start a new topical sermon series that I have titled, Count the Cost. Count the Cost. and we'll be on this subject for several weeks or however long we need to stay on it. Here's the question. Are you willing to count the cost for this? Whatever this may be. And then, are you willing to pay the cost for this? Whatever this may be. There's two steps here. We count the cost for this, and then we decide if we want to pay the cost for this. Are we willing to pay it? Is this worth having? Whatever this is. The cost of this is determined by this and not by us. This, whatever this is, has a cost. We don't shape it. We don't change it. We don't determine it. The only thing, two things that we can do is this. We can count this cost, and then we can pay for it. Only if we truly want this. For the remainder of the sermon this morning, I need to give this a name. And I went through my head trying to think, what can I call this? And all the different words went through my head, and probably the best one that I come up with, and I don't even like it, is the word commitment. I might use the word commitment, but more than likely for the sermon this morning, I'll say this. Whatever this is. Let's go right to our bulletins and fill in our first fill in the blank. Every important commitment has a cost. Every important commitment has a cost. And you'll notice that after that in the bulletin, I don't have any scripture references there because that is just my belief. Every important commitment has a cost. And you can't be willing to pay the cost if you first don't count the cost for this. Let me give you a couple different examples. First of all, a very, very simple example. We go to the grocery store, or we go to Walmart, or wherever it may be. Let's say grocery store, and we want to buy groceries. We wouldn't go down the produce aisle, pick up a head of lettuce, and then take it to the girl to check out and say, I'm going to give you 25 cents for this head of lettuce. The head of lettuce has a cost, does it not? As we go through the grocery store, everything is pretty well marked. If you want to buy this or this or this, it has a cost. Now comes the next question. Do I want that head of lettuce that cost, let's say, 99 cents? Whatever it costs. Okay, there's the cost. Now, am I willing to pay that cost for this head of lettuce? We make those kind of decisions every day when we go shopping. We don't set the cost. The cost is already set for those items that we are buying. Let me give you a little more advanced example. Last weekend, I was at my nephew's wedding in Columbus, Ohio. I was sent an invitation to that wedding back in January, and I had to respond back with a yes or a no. Will I be there at that wedding for that wedding ceremony? But before I could respond, I first had to count the cost of making that commitment and then deciding, well, do I want to pay that cost to go? Here's just a couple of the questions that I had to ask myself before I could send that return back and say yes or no. I had to ask myself such questions as this. Well, do I really want to go? Does going require me to take off of work? And if I do take off of work, am I going to get paid for that time that I'm going to take off? How long will I be gone? Where am I going to be staying each night? If I'm going to be staying in a hotel, how much is that going to cost? How do I get there? Do I take my car? Do I fly? Do I take a bus? And if I do drive, which I probably would, how much is it going to cost me in gasoline? How many miles is it there? What kind of gas mileage does my car get? And I could kind of calculate that out, an approximate expense for gasoline. And now if I'm going out there, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop for food. I'm going to stop for drinks. How much is all that going to cost? Is my car mechanically sound to make such a trip, which would be about 1,200 miles? Do I know how to get there? Remember, Mike, if you go, you got to buy a gift for the newlyweds. And while I'm out and about, do I stop and visit other family members on this trip? Those were just some of the questions I had to ask myself before I could make that decision. Do I want to go to this wedding? And for anyone who is planning a trip of any sort, these are just some basic questions that need some real answers before you can make that commitment to go. One needs to count the cost of this. And in that example, this for me was, do I want to attend that wedding ceremony? Failure to count the cost of this may result in unnecessary problems later on. Let me give you one more example. Another commitment that is far more important than grocery store shopping and weekend trips is marriage. You know, many people decide to get married. I believe we have a couple in our midst with us here this morning that October the 2nd, the big day, correct? They've decided to get married. For the next 5 minutes, the rest of you can, you don't have to hear a thing. This is for you guys, okay? It's for all of us. Statistics show that over 50% of married couples end up in a divorce. Why? I believe a good percentage of this 50% is because young men and women who are ready to make this commitment of marriage fail to count the cost ahead of time. They look at the short-term benefits, but they never take time to discuss and answer the important issues before the wedding ceremony. I was doing a little bit of research this week, and I found a website for newlyweds-to-be that had 15 deal-breaker questions that men and women should ask themselves between the two of them before they get married. And I have that list here with me. Here's the 15 questions that they say that young men and women should ask each other. Have we discussed whether or not to have children? Number two, do we have a clear idea of each other's financial obligations and goals? And do our ideas about spending and saving mesh? Number three, have we discussed our expectations for how the household will be maintained? Number four, have we fully disclosed our health histories, both physical and mental? Number five, is my partner affectionate to the degree that I expect? Number six, can we comfortably and openly discuss our sexual needs, preferences, and fears? Number seven, will there be a television in our bedroom? I'm only reading it because it's on the list. Number eight, do we truly listen to each other and fairly consider one another's ideas and complaints? Number nine, have we reached a clear understanding of each other's spiritual beliefs and needs? And have we discussed when and how our children will be exposed to religious and moral education? Number 10, do we like and respect each other's friends? Number 11, do we value and respect each other's parents? And is either of us concerned about whether the parents will interfere with the relationship? If you forget the other 14, make sure you got the answer to that one. I had great in-laws. I did. I still have great in-laws. Number 12, what does my family do that annoys you? Number 13, are there some things that you and I are not prepared to give up in our marriage? Number 14, if one of us were to be offered a career opportunity in a location far from the other one's family, are we prepared to move? And the fifth one, do each of us feel fully confident in each other's commitment to the marriage and believe that the bond can survive whatever challenges we may face? It's a great list of questions, and Matt and Brittany don't leave without taking this with them. This website calls those 15 questions deal breaker questions. I call it counting the cost of one of the most important commitments that you will ever make. How bad do you want this, the marriage? I strongly suggest count the cost. But those are just worldly examples. Grocery shopping, going on vacations, getting married. For the remainder of our time this morning, let's look at a biblical example of the person in our story this morning, Naaman the Syrian. And let's see if he counted the cost. Let me give you just a quick recap of the story. Naaman was a Gentile and a commander in the army of Aram. He had leprosy. A Jewish slave girl told him that if he went to see the prophet Elisha, he would be cured. So what does Naaman do? He goes to Israel, and he takes silver, and he takes gold, and he takes 10 sets of clothing to pay for his cure. Naaman doesn't know the cost, but he goes prepared with what he thinks this is going to cost him, this being the cure of his leprosy. When he arrives, Elisha's messenger tells him to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will be restored. I'm just going to reread 3 verses from 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 10 through 12 again, and then we'll fill in our second fill in the blank in the bulletin. Starting with verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Our second fill in the blank would say this: sometimes the cost of this is not what we want it to be. We want this, but the cost isn't what we expect or what we want it to be. As I said earlier, in most cases, the person who is doing the paying doesn't set the cost. The cost is already determined by whatever this might be. Naaman was willing to pay a cost, but he was not willing to pay the cost. He wanted this, the cure for his leprosy, under his own terms and conditions. Not anybody else's. After all, he came prepared. Naaman, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase those three verses here for a second. Here's what I think Naaman was thinking. First of all, he was upset. The messenger come out. Hey, wait a second. I want the real guy to come out. Where's that prophet, Elisha? He's the guy that's supposed to show up, not the messenger. So right off the bat, there's something that's not going right for Naaman here. And then Naaman says, and the next thing I want you to do, I want you to call on your God, and then you just wave your hand over me, Elisha, and I'll be cured. This is very simple here now. I have leprosy. You have the cure. You come on out. You wave your hand. Do your little whatever is real thing that you got to do. I'll be cured. I'll give you some silver. I'll give you some gold. I'll give you 10 sets of clothing. You go back in your house. I'll go back to Aram. That's not the way it worked out. That's not the way it was going to be. You see, because Naaman doesn't set the cost of this. And quite often, and in most cases, we don't set the cost for this. And the question is, do we take time to find out what this is and the cost, and are we willing to pay it? Let me read verses 13 and 14. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he, Naaman, went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean, like that of a young boy. Our third fill-in-the-blank would say this. If we want this bad enough, we must be willing to pay the true cost. The true cost. Not our cost. Not what we think this is worth. This has a cost. So if we want this bad enough, we must be willing to pay its true cost. We find out in the story that once Naaman paid the true cost for the cure, and that's what he wanted, go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times, that his flesh come out. And I like what it says here, it was restored like that of a young boy. I don't know about you, but I'd like to go take a dip right about now. Here's the questions we need to ask ourselves, folks. Are we willing to pay the cost, even if the cost for this isn't what we expect it to be? Do we want this? And everybody has a this in their lives. Maybe we have 2 or 3 this's, or maybe we have 100 this's. Do we want this so bad that when we find out what the true cost of that is, that yes, we are willing to pay it? Let's put it in the words of the scripture. Are we willing to take 7 dips in a dirty river if that's what the cost is going to be? If you want the good ice cream, are you willing to pay $4.99 a half a gallon for it? If you want to take that vacation, Are you willing to pay for the gas, the hotels, the food, and perhaps that sunburn that you're going to get? If you want that marriage, are you willing to love your spouse more than anything or anything else in this world, except for God? If you want that marriage, are you willing to make that your spouse the most important person in the world? Before you go for this, have you counted the cost? And then if you've counted the cost, are you willing to pay the price? Let's pray.